Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Glory be to Jesus. Thank you for joining us again today. It's going to be value for your time as we look at the book of Luke, as we continue our study actually in the book of Luke. So we've done Luke chapter 1 to Luke chapter 14. And then this morning we're going to go to Luke chapter 15. And my prayer is as we look into God's word together, the entrance of his word will bring light to us and understanding in Jesus' name. Now, there are a lot of lessons that you're going to learn from this chapter. And I expect that you take notes, you know, even as we look into those lessons together. Verse 1. Then all the tax collectors and the sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. You know, this has always been the problem of the Pharisees. They feel too righteous to even relate with, you know, sinners and unbelievers. They don't even want to go close because then they feel they are going to be stained or they are going to become dirty or they are going to become sinners like them. So they avoid sinners. But in the case of Jesus Christ, the Bible says he receives them. But I want us to be wise. And the wisdom I want to teach us is the fact that if you have friends that are unbelievers, and each time you are with them, it affects your commitment to God. It makes you feel a bit, you know, reluctant to doing the things of God. Then that's a toxic relationship and you need to leave that relationship as soon as possible. But if you are in a relationship with, you know, when I say relationship, I'm not talking about cordial relationship. I'm just talking about maybe your friends or your classmates, and they are sinners, and you can cope with relating with them such that you will be the one influencing them. Then that's fine. That's absolutely fine. So, but the bottom line is do not engage in any relationship that is going to affect your work with God. May God help us in Jesus' name. And we see the story of the parable. You know, Jesus taught a parable about a man who had 100 sheep, and then he loses one. The Bible says he leaves the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it. He goes after the one until he finds it. And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulder, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me. And then Jesus gives another example, another parable of the lost coin. You see, there are three parables in Luke 15. The parable of the lost coin, the parable of the lost sheep, and the parable of the lost prodigal son, which we can also say the lost son. But, you know, there is something similar and there are some things different in these three parables. For instance, the similarities, we have the sheep got lost, the coin got lost, and then the boy also was lost. And in those three cases, when they were found, you know, there was massive joy. They were rejoicing. But then the difference is this. In the first, the man went in search of the sheep until he had found it. Then for the coin, you know, the woman also went in search of the coin until she found it. But in the case of the prodigal son, the man did not search for the boy until he found the boy. He wasn't even looking for the boy. And that brings me to two things. There are two major ways that God, you know, brings the lost to him. Sometimes when you're lost, like when you've backslided or you've left God or you're far away from God, God brings a lot of pastors, prophets to you. And this happens basically to baby Christians. I mean, people who are just given their life to Christ. There will be convictions, messages, people will be sending prophetic words to you to come back to God and everything. You know, but in the case of the prodigal son, there are some people that when they are lost and when they are doing, you know, something really bad, God leaves them to do it. He allows them to learn their lessons. And then after learning their lessons, they will come back to their senses and then return to God. Just like in the case of the Israelites, for instance, they saw hell. I mean, they were left to face all of those things. And at the end of the day, they came back to their senses. But let me not jump the gun. We are still talking about the lost coin and the lost sheep. So basically, you know, people talk about the fact that when you've given your life to Christ, you can never go back. You can never return. I mean, this is Jesus giving us an example here that you can be a sheep. This is not even a goat. And then you can be lost. You can be lost in worldliness. You can be lost in anything. I've had stories, several stories of people who for a whole year, immediately after university, you know, they start working. And then for 1 year, 2 years, they are completely lost. You know, you start with not reading your Bible anymore. Then before you know it, you can no longer pray. You know, I was speaking with someone recently and we said, the last time we prayed for hours was when we were in university. It was the last time we prayed for hours. I mean, the first and last time I prayed for 3 hours was when I was in university. Since I left university, I've not prayed for 3 hours straight. I mean, personally. And this is not good enough. This is not good enough. And that's because, you know, most of us, we are encumbered with so many things. And that's what happens to many believers. The moment you leave that atmosphere, that colleague of your friends that are spiritual, brethren, believers meeting, you know, all of those things, escorts. And then you start working, you know, start having kids, you get married. Before you know it, you just found out that you're completely lost. You can't even read your Bible anymore. You don't even know where your sermon notes are. You can't even preach for 30 minutes. They ask you to preach in church for 30 minutes. After 10 minutes, you don't know what else to say. You can't quote scriptures anymore. So it is possible for a believer to be completely lost. But my prayer for you this morning is that you will not be lost. The Lord will keep you in the name of Jesus. One of my favorite scriptures is Jude chapter 1 verse 24. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to keep us from falling. So I believe strongly that the Lord can keep us from falling. And I pray for you that the Lord will hold you firm. You will not fall. You will not be lost in the name of Jesus. Amen. And we go straight to the parable of the prodigal son. So this guy went to meet the father and said, give me my own share of the inheritance, you know. And then he took everything and then went into a very far country. Let me give you a picture. The parable of the prodigal son is more like the fact that God gave us talent. Some of you can sing. Some of you can draw. You can write. You are a very good writer. You write so well. And then God gave you that gift. Go on, just go with it. And then you traveled far to a country. You came to the earth. You squandered all of those talents. Use it for yourself. You spent all of those gifts making money for yourself. Not for the furtherance of the kingdom. Not for the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. You use all of those things for yourself. Use it for your family. Use it to make more money. Use your gifts, the gift that God has given to you. Use it to oppress people. Just like the prodigal son. You squandered everything. You know, some of these guys that sings hip-hop songs, the Davidos and the likes. You know, some of these guys, I hope you know that it wasn't the devil that gave them the talent to sing. These guys have very good voice. And I tell you, the voice they have, God gave them this gift. But then they decided to use this gift to praise the devil. They used this gift to gratify the flesh, to talk about sex, talk about women. And then before you know it, they use it to for themselves, basically, and not for God. You know what will happen? God will leave them. Because at the end of the day, you will come back to your senses one day. And then I hope that you will indeed come back to your senses. If you have been using the gifts that God has given to you for frivolous things, it is high time you changed. It is high time you repented from that act. And then come straight to God. And the beautiful thing is that when this guy, you know, thought about what he was doing and he said he was going to go back to God, to the Father, the Bible says while he was coming, the Father saw him from afar. I don't know the period of time by this guy left home, but I can tell that this man has been, you know, he had been checking to see if the guy would come. He knew the guy was going to come. That shows how much God wants you back. No matter how far you've gone. Now, you may even be a Christian. You might still be going to church. You may be a believer. But then you know that there are some things that God has given to you, but you've squandered those things. The gifts that God has given to you. Your writing skills. You're not using it to write erotic things. You use it to write love letters to sisters. You know, those gifts that God has given to you, the gift of speaking. Some of you can talk from morning till night. You won't be tired. But instead of using those words and those that gift for the furtherance of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God, you have used it now. You are using it now for your own glory and, you know, for people appraiser. You want people to praise you. You know, so it is high time you turned back to God. It is high time you repented for that act. Ask God to save you. Ask God to keep you. Tell God, I am back. Bring me back to you. You know, the beautiful thing about the Bible is, it's so real. The Bible says, come to me and I will come to you. It's simple. That means you are the one who left God. God didn't leave you. He said, I will not leave you nor forsake you. So if you feel that God has left, it's not because God left. It's because you left. You left God. I mean, the man was in that house waiting for the prodigal son all the while. He didn't leave the house. He was there waiting, hoping that he would come. You know, he remained in that house until the guy came back. So God didn't leave. He's there waiting for you. I pray that the Lord will give you that grace, that strength to return. If you're already derailing, I pray that the Lord bring you back in the name of Jesus. Amen. So when this guy came back, you know, the lost son, when he came back, you know, to the father, the Bible says, the father said to his servant, bring out the best robe and put it on him. And this is what happens. Whenever you come back to God, the first thing he gives to you is his righteousness, not your own righteousness. That garment you are wearing. The Bible says, though your sin are so red as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. You know, our garments is not, you cannot even approach God with your own clothing. He needs to clothe us with his own garment, with his own righteousness. No man can stand before God. No matter how righteous you think you are, actually, you even think you are righteous. Because then, you're just there. You can't even come to God with your righteousness. So the first thing he does is he clothes us with his own righteousness. And then the second thing is he puts a ring on his hand. And that ring is a symbol of fellowship, is a symbol of communion. You know, when you place a ring, you know what ring, what we use rings for in marriage. You know, it's like a covenant. And you know, this is one of the things that God has given to us. Apart from the fact that he has given us his righteousness, he has also made an everlasting covenant with us. He has given us authority over principalities, rulers of darkness, you know, spiritual wickedness in high places. He has given us that. That ring is a symbol of authority, is a symbol of communion, a symbol of marriage. You're united with Christ. You see? And then sandals on his feet. And you know what sandals are for? What we use the sandals for? You know, the Bible says in Ephesians, shod your feet with the sandal of gospel of peace. That means having received the righteousness of God, you've gotten, you know, connected with God. The next thing is you have to invite others. You don't just get all of those things. I mean, I've said it many times in our podcast. You should not be calling yourself a Christian and then you're not preaching to anyone. You're not making effort to add to the kingdom of God. The Bible says, he that wins a soul is wise. So definition of wisdom, one of the definitions of the wisdom is that when you win soul, then you're wise. You see? May God help us in Jesus' name. And the last thing is joy. So, you know, there's so much joy when we do all of these things. When you're clothed in the righteousness of God, you're united with God. And then you spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Then there is joy in heaven. Hallelujah. So can we learn one or two things from the elder brother? You know, the Bible says the guy became so hungry, having heard that his younger brother was back. I mean, should you be angry that someone gave his life to Christ? Should you be angry seeing that someone who had been, you know, lost, who had spent all his life in you know, penury, trouble, pain, came back to God? We should be excited about that. You know, some people believe that the other brother has done something good. I mean, this is not Christ-like, that he is hungry, that someone who was lost is back. That's absolutely the attitude of the Pharisees. You know what the Pharisees do? Two things. Number one, they do a lot of things. I mean, countless, more than 100, I don't know, maybe 20 or 30. But let me just say two major things that I feel that the Pharisees and scribes, they are known for. Number one, they think highly of themselves. They feel they are the best. They feel they are just there. And that's exactly the feeling of this elder brother. He feels he deserves it more than the younger brother. They feel that they are just okay. Their righteousness is in their head. And the second thing about them is that they accuse. And that's exactly what this boy is doing too. Was accusing the father. Why would you do this? Was also accusing the son, you know, his younger brother. And these two things should never be found in our lives as believers. I want to believe you've learned one or two things this morning. Thank you for joining the podcast. I celebrate you. God bless you. Bye for now.